What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning on the number one sports talk radio station in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, where you best be ready for a steamy day. I think all-time highs, high 80s later today. Keep that in your mind as you go through what's kind of a, muggy morning to start, but it's going to get real warm and get us ready for opening day weekend for the Braves, which is not going to happen the way we hoped it would happen, but it is what it is. Lots to get to over the course of the next 2 hours, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Get your Odyssey app, listen anytime you can, and be a part of the radio station. How was your evening, ma'am, the queen of Atlanta radio?
Uneventful, which was fine with me. I did not watch the game, and folks were kind enough on the Twitters to tell me the score update. 2-0.
So was that 5-0? Was that a calculated slump buster move?
Don't look at it. Yep. Exactly.
So you're telling me you sat in your hotel room, or say if you were in town last night,
yes,
and you made a conscious effort to not put it on.
Not 1 second.
So what were you watching instead, or were you just getting scored? So
Friends.
Just mindless.
Mindless.
Fun.
I was reading, and just right. I wanted some little background noise.
You get good sleep?
No.
But.
What are you kidding?
Don't be crazy.
Then
right?
I saw the score. Yeah.
So you made a concerted effort to not watch.
Uh-huh.
They put together, I give Snit a lot of credit for that, you know, Giacomo lineup that he put together. It was just like, okay, we're going to literally throw it all out there.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even going to.
Heavy righty lineup, could have been a spring training lineup, is basically what it was.
Yeah, reminded me.
Change it up, folks.
When I was such a big baseball fan growing up, and I loved doubleheaders because I was like, hold on a second, I get to watch two games. Listen, there may be some dads driving around that say their kid could sit through 6 hours of baseball and not move, but I don't think, you know, that's. Nowadays, sports is consumed in TikTok, honestly, and consumed in highlights more than anything else, and not on SportsCenter highlights. That's a whole other thing. When they say sports numbers are down on television, but they're not down on digital and TikTok and everything else. But when I would go to see the Sox schedule, if there was a rainout and they played a doubleheader, sometimes they schedule a doubleheader, Sandra, which they would never do now because why would I want to give people two games when I can get the gate for one and then have them leave the stadium
parking,
and come back.
Especially at the Battery, yeah.
So the second game of a doubleheader, because lineups were so ingrained, right? Like I could tell you every lineup in the American League East when I was growing up because guys didn't move a lot. Free agency wasn't a big deal. So like, you know, you knew if you're watching the Yankees, you know, it's Chris Chambliss and Willie Randolph and Greg Nettles and Mickey Rivers and Lou Piniella and Thurman. Like, you knew the whole lineup. But then there'd be the second games of doubleheaders.
Right.
Where guys that you'd have to, you know, dust off the mothballs. Dude hadn't played in, like, seriously 7 weeks. And you'd have the second game, and I'd be like,
you got to get your program out, too. Remember, there used to be a program at the baseball
games?
Oh,
yeah, of course. Just keep score.
Yeah.
Always
bought
a program.
Uh-huh.
So the second game of a doubleheader was just kind of a jacked-up lineup, and I thought that was like a novelty because I never see Bob Montgomery play, right? The owner of the Red Sox, Haywood Sullivan, his son, Mark Sullivan, he would only play on the second game,
that's
right?
Because
he didn't want a kid catching.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that lineup looked like. It looked like the second day of a doubleheader where you just empty the bench, and when it was 5-0, you're like, okay, right? So
that's
this,
great.
You know— you had a lot going against you, and then it just started to unravel and unravel. I got back from supper, as Sandra likes to say. Sat down at 5-2, then 5-3. I was keeping track of the odds there, live betting, just to see like where people were, thinking what might happen. And you know, you knew when they tied it. You knew when they tied it at five.
Yeah.
That you were in trouble.
Right.
I flipped over to the Hawks. I came back, and there was this really good ball player circling the bases, and I was like, "That didn't take long."
Boom.
And it was over.
Oh, Shohei Ohtani rocked it off. Walked it off. It's the lead story on SportsCenter. But not only that, it was within the first 5 minutes of Good Morning America.
No way.
So it's like the play of the day, and
they're also 8-0. So that's a big deal.
And I guess so. It was the first of four Shohei Ohtani bobblehead giveaways yesterday, and this is the one with him holding an MVP. So folks started lining up at midnight the night before.
I was going to say, that
and
must
so
be.
So they had to shut down two highways, which if you know anything
You've
about trying to get to
me.
Dodger Stadium, it's already a nightmare. So cars were backed up. It was a disaster. Thousands of people lining up in the streets for those. Yeah, so that was the kind of
I was
going to
say, think about what we do for like a Dansby Swanson bobblehead or current, you know, current version. Now, Outkast is our version of that, right? The Outkast thing
was
huge.
The biggest one.
But like Shohei bobblehead, like they need any more reason to come to the ballpark.
Yeah.
So it's what we said yesterday. You didn't have on your bingo card. There's no way in God's green earth you thought the Atlanta Braves could come home winless. That's exactly what happened. You know, there's that notion in gambling where you're like, listen, Braves are 0-3. They're not going to lose four in a row. I'll take them the next day. Well, you got to double up on the next day. Well, you got to double up on the next day.
Well, what did you do when they had lost six in a row?
Right. Well, the only difference is they're playing the Dodgers. If this was somebody else, folks are just like, they're only going to lose so many in a row.
That's so true.
Like, by the way, if you think just like, I'm going to ride the Braves on Friday night, they're in one of those malaise right now, man. You know, bullpen can't be trusted. Lineup is, they didn't hit last night. It was about Dodgers just throwing it all over the ballpark. You know, we played small ball. I mean, it was better, but that things are rough.
Can I make everybody laugh this morning? Can we have some funny stories instead? So,
this is a great distraction, right?
We need one. Chris Long has a great podcast. By the way, it's called the Greenlight Podcast with Chris Long. So Tyler Hansborough is his guest. And
North Carolina big man, played for the Pacers, and I guess the Raptors, right?
And apparently played with Sweet Lou at Toronto.
Lou Williams had two girlfriends. And he had like code names for them, and he was very open about this. You play with Lou Williams. Did you meet both girlfriends? Did he bring both girlfriends around, or was that like a known thing that he was a polygamist of sorts?
They sat next to each other there at every game. I mean, Lou Williams off the court for doing that. I mean, I'm not sure he could do anything basketball wise to ever really top that.
When I tell you that podcast is so funny. When he goes on and on about
that's Howie's Kid, Chris Long.
Howie's Kid, yeah, Chris. It's a great podcast. I don't know if you
have the other cut.
Yeah, you want to hear the other one?
Yeah, I want to. I mean,
his girlfriends, they looked. I mean, they were impressive. They weren't like there were some folks. I was like, it would have been a fact. Like, if he brought two girls, like you know, they're all right. But he found something that works. No, these two girls were like model hot, and both of them sat at the game, and it was hilarious.
I just did V103 with Frank Ski, who's filling in for Big Tigger, who had a baby. And we're doing 404 Day. That's tomorrow, which is a huge deal, which is why we'll have a lot of guests tomorrow. And we were talking for the topic on V this morning, like what are the restaurants that are like you come to Atlanta and they're kind of the iconic
Absolutely.
Spots, right? So I was like, well, there's the Varsity, and then there, of course, is Mary Mac's Tea Room. And I'd argue the Atlanta Fish Market with the Big Fish or like – whether or not, listen, Varsity should be a lot better. So, well, Varsity is what it is. Mary Mac's Tea Room could be a lot better. I said, right now, the most famous restaurant / food in the city, you know what it is? It's Magic City. I'd say it's the number one conversation. You got Fort Fry Chef. You got Kevin Rasmus Chef. You got Buckhead Life.
That's hilarious.
You got all these fancy places. I'm going to Aria tonight. Jerry Kliskala, one of the greatest chefs in the city's history, who's retiring. But I'm telling you that the most hyped food in the history of our town is the wings at Magic's, the Lou Williams,
the lemon pepper Lou.
Right?
They should be on the menu as lemon pepper Lou. Is that not the number one for,
if anything, to find?
So we'll remind you during the NBA bubble that Sweet Lou comes back to Atlanta for some reason.
It was a death in the family. Auntie or something like that.
So then he is seen at Magic City, which, by the way, they weren't locked down at Magic City, and he's getting him some Sweet Lou lemon pepper. It's hilarious.
You talk about a legend. He left the bubble because he had to get them wings at Magic City.
I'm going to get into the deep dive with numbers later. None of them are good. I will tell you that they have a much-needed day off today, and then they're home, which is great. You're going to see Spencer Schwellenbach tomorrow. You're going to see Max Meyer tomorrow night. The other good news, you guys, is if you're out and about and want to pop by Cool Ray Field, Spencer Strider is having his second outing tomorrow night at Cool Ray Field. And then the better news is they're only expecting Buster Olney reporting this morning. He will only have likely one more rehab center. So do the math.
Amen.
That's five more, and then he's rut to go. So that is the bit of good news.
Spencer Strider will have this and one more, you said?
Yeah.
So he'll be with the team within the next 7 days.
Correct math. All right. So the Hawks lost 121-118.
Yeah, Hawks have been losing a lot lately. Four out of five. They blow a game against a Mavericks team that got Anthony Davis feeling good again, I guess, right?
It's 34-point night. You mean the best night since he's been part of Dallas? He was feisty in the whole get out. Anthony Davis blocking Trae Young's 26-footer three-pointer to try to tie the game. But, I mean, it wasn't kind of close. But it was just they were up by, 11 points.
Well, but then they came back in the fourth quarter. So they tied it. They took a lead. Two horrible possessions down the stretch. Again, it doesn't matter. It's Magic, Hawks, 7-8. That'll be the play-in to see if we get in the postseason. But I would just say they got the pass because of Jalen and everything else. They're not even a playoff team in the Western Conference. Am I high on Reese Shea as Rookie of the Year? Yes. Am I high on Dyson as a great pickup? Absolutely. Do I feel like Trey's having a banner year and Jalen's going to be great eventually? That's all great.
25-12 last night for Trey.
Yeah, that's all great. What's our record? You know, or 36 and what is it? What's our record overall?
36-40.
36-40 with six games to go, right? So there it is. What else? Anything?
That's it.
When we come back, I got a lot of things to get off my chest.
We got to address what's happening with your hand. I mean, you're a bit of a mess today.
I look like I'm
swolled up. You look like you pitched last night to Shohei Ohtani with your
left
hand.
I look like somebody went high and tight on me and got me right on that area on the wrist. Is it time for me to get out of my comfort zone? I'm going to ask Sandy that question. And when your daughter says, I want to host a prom party after senior prom, what should your reaction be? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How's everybody doing? Yeah, the Braves, listen, we'll have a whole segment on that coming up. There's not a lot to say. It's a disastrous start. I kind of couldn't believe, but I could, that the thing unraveled last night. That game ended, by the way, didn't end, but when they were bases loaded, sixth inning, nobody out, that's when that becomes a 9-5 win, right? Yeah. You get another big hit like Olsen had earlier. You tack up some more crooked numbers. You separate yourself with 5-2 or 5-3 at the time. But when you go with a bagel, and we'll hear from Austin Riley and Stint and everything else coming up later, when you didn't do anything there, the Dodgers are a juggernaut, dude. I mean, Dodgers are a 120-win team. Let's be honest. They're every night you're playing them, you are behind the eight ball. I was just looking at their lineup and thinking of their pitching, and I go, we could play them 10 times there right now. Maybe we'd win one or two. Maybe nobody matches up with them. And maybe there's
the LA Times, literally, y'all, go Google it. They have the article. The Dodgers could do it 162-0. And funny. They lay out the reasons. And I'm like, well, I'm feeling good with eight games in. Well, the other part of that is the Braves aren't, with all due, the White Sox. The Braves are not the White Sox.
I know.
We have never. They didn't forget how to play baseball all of a sudden.
Thank you, Kirk Cousins.
This is right.
So
it's a clerical error with the Braves.
Padres won
again. Right.
The Padres and the Dodgers are 15-0.
Yeah.
15-0. Does that mean we're going to kill the Marlins and Phillies? Absolutely not. But it'd be nice to not play those two teams, the two best teams in baseball, in their building to start the year.
Hey, make sure to go to Murph's tomorrow in the Cobb Galleria, a very special broadcast of Dukes and Bell for the Braves home opener. They'll be there from 2 to 7 as we lead up to the first pitch of that Braves first home game, brought to you by Verizon, by Window Nation, by Four Windows, get four free, and by Racetrack, whatever gets you going.
So, like, Sandra and I have been together a long time, and we were just talking about our parents and aging and all that stuff. But Sandra has seen over the years, well, she's seen me in all kinds of different conditions and whatnot. But as we get into our 50s, on any given morning, I walk in here and I got an ice pack on my ankle. I stick my big ugly foot up and I'm icing that. Or I got something on my elbow. Remember I had the, now my hand has like exploded. Like, I don't even know how to describe. Like, I got a normal hand and then my left hand. And
it's double the size.
I assume it's bursitis or gout, mm-hmm. right? But I haven't been unhealthy. I've been working out a lot. Haven't been drinking a lot. And, you know, I do eat most burgers on Instagram. But I think when you're prone, my mom has as well. But, like, middle of the night, I mean, I'm icing this thing for hours to try to function. It's an ugly. Does anybody, what do you do?
Didn't you used to, or somebody brought up, I remember at when we were at the other place, a thing of real cherry juice, like that real cherry juice.
Allopurinol, okay. Colchicine, whatever, you know, like the thing with bursitis or gout, they're all kind of joints. Like literally you don't know, wow, this is interesting. My pinky was hurting over the weekend, my pinky. And it's like, I guess that's, and next thing you know, 2 days later, I'm like Dr. Frankenstein. I've got this club hand I'm walking around with, and it's like, my kids, and they're just like, everybody's like, what's up? It's your knee, it's your elbow, it's your hand, it's like this. I was like, I'm not, I know when it's lifestyle related.
Is it all on your left side?
No, I think I've had every combination.
Oh, well, good.
I've had, so.
Keep yourself
so
in
if
balance.
Anybody wants to, you know, let me know what the hell to do about, like, really bad gout in your hand. I've never had this sucker like this.
That's
so I came in. I'm not in a miserable mood. Not like Sandra 2 days ago when the Braves lost again. But just it's when you're in pain. I'm talking about real pain, right?
And you have a busy day.
Yeah, I'm filming two restaurants today. So we're filming over at Ravinia at the Perimeter. And then I'm filming at New Realm on the Beltline tonight. And I, you know, and then I'm going for a dinner celebrating a good friend's birthday tonight. So it's busy. I'm running, you know, but not everybody wants to hear me complain. But what do you do when you get gout in your hands? It's just awful. Here's another thing I'm thinking about. Nola's such. I got three kids, and they're all wonderful. But Nola's like this little angel, this precious little thing, right? Who has come into her own. Mm-hmm. She's been dancing for years. She just got magna cum laude at school. And she's
awesome.
And she just said, can I host a post-prom party? An after-prom?
So, no. No.
Well, that should be my initial reaction. Any dads out there, any thought? Here's the problem. We gave Sophie one host, right? Who's hosting tonight? That's the whole thing, all these kids. Is one family going to step up and host?
Okay.
We did it once with Sophie, right? I mean, it was high anxiety. It's a zero-sum game. There's all kinds of shenanigans, right? I mean, you don't want them drinking at your house. You don't want them showing up drunk at your house. You certainly have to monitor how people are coming and going. You got to look in their eyes. You got to hope to take an Uber. You don't know where they were before. Like, I know it's easy to be like, that's the dumbest thing. Why would you ever host? But I mean, you know, I'm not the only parent who have thought about just one time letting your kids, and then at least they're under your watchful eye.
Mm-hmm.
But you ever hosted over the years with any of your older
Strong
kids?
No.
Day-day, right? There's not a lot of upside. So, like, I was like, nah. I know Sophie got one 2 years ago, but I'm going to say that let's try to game. Let's get out of high school without me having ever.
So there's a hosting, and then there's an after party. Those are two different
things.
There's
the prom, which
yeah.
is at school, I believe. And then there's always an after prom, right? Okay. You had an after prom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, prom ends at 10.
Right.
10, 15. They're going somewhere. And they're going somewhere till 2, you know, 2 in the morning. It's prom. Like, it's not, I'm not going to pretend my kid's going to be home at 11:30, right? You know, it's, I just, you just, I'll pick you up at 2 a.m. I'll pick you up at 2:30. I'll, it doesn't matter how far away or where it is. Just make the right decision. Don't do something dumb. Never get in a car. I don't care what time it is. We are available to you. Whatever. Right? But they're going somewhere. I think Sophie, they found a field somewhere, like outside of Buckhead, and they were all at some field. I picked them up at like 1:20 in the morning after prom, right?
Yeah, it was a little different for me when I was in high school because our prom was at West End Bonaventure in L.A. But the big thing in California was everyone always, after the prom, goes to the beach.
Right.
Oh, nice.
You know that's what I'm saying?
So that was kind of...
But
that
you
was
have a kid
thing.
Old enough that's been through prom?
My oldest daughter, yeah. So, but... I didn't host, but she did want to go somewhere, but it was a strong no.
But so she wasn't even allowed to go to a party after?
No, and not after prom. No.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Well,
I wasn't allowed to do any of that either.
Well, you had a real buttoned-up deal, right?
My parents
you were a good
were
little girl.
Strict. Well, so I was
we,
just strict.
So we had a post-prom.
Like a runaway?
We had a post-prom party at Cape Cod. There's some girl had a house on the Cape. And a bunch of us went down to the Cape and had a party down there. It was that's remember the sad little thing? I slept in a closet.
So awful. This is
Suzanne.
A tragic story. Suzanne.
I made a mixtape, right? We got a car for the prom. I had a friend who I bogarted with him, right? He had like a limo or something after prom. We drive down to the Cape. This girl basically broke up with me 3 weeks before prom. I thought I could rekindle it. Right? Her favorite song was Sister Christian. You know that song?
Oh, Night Ranger. This is beautiful.
So I put that in the mixtape.
Nice.
I think we're going to rekindle things.
Nice.
She didn't pay me but an ounce of attention. I get to this party. She's talking and flirting with some other guys. I go into a closet, very small one. I wake up. It's like 6:45 a.m. And like, you know. I'm down at the beach in Cape Cod. I'm sleeping in a freaking closet. I can't find Suzanne or anybody else. I'm stuck at the Cape. Can't get a freaking ride. So, no.
Suzanne, you messed up.
Yeah. I was like, please come through the Atlanta airport, Suzanne. Please.
Oh.
When I had that big old, my big fat head on that escalator going up.
Welcome to Atlanta.
I starved myself for 4 days just thinking. I hope Suzanne comes through town.
Yeah.
You will know what you
That's
lost.
Right, Sister Christian.
You may,
we'll show you.
You may have married some highly successful, incredibly wealthy, super good-looking hedge fund guy, which is what happened.
Look what you missed out
But
on.
Look at this, man.
That's
I go on Instagram, and I eat cheeseburgers, baby. So you may have a house in the Hamptons because she moved to New York.
Of course she did.
You know, your kids may be gorgeous, but let me tell you something, baby. I'm eating cheesesteaks at Woody's, and I got my big fat head up when you go up that escalator. So who won in the end, right? Anyway, any dads out there or parents ever have to deal with this?
What's the liability the part of this? 404-726-0929.
There's got to be a lawyer to say the dumbest thing you'd ever possibly
do. Ever have people at your house.
Right. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. If anybody has a thought, I'm sure there's a lawyer saying, the dumbest thing you could ever do is A, think kids aren't going to be drinking or hiding it, and they all go to the basement or they go outside, and, you know, they find a way, right? Love will find a way, you know.
There's just two schools of thought. This is when I'm just talking about my girlfriends of we're going to serve them and have it at our house. No keys. You're not leaving.
You're here all night.
We're going to supervise it. Or we are no alcohol, zero tolerance, and we're just going to turn our heads the other way and not have it. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm not going to serve kids alcohol, but the problem is, you know.
There's a lot of parents who are doing that.
Yeah. I can see they want to have them under their roof and be able to look them in the eye, especially on prom night.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. So,
what's the part about baby Nola's dance party recital?
I want to tell you about that, too. Uh-huh. I have some regrets in life. Okay. I have some regrets.
Sister Christian being part of it.
Well, this night was one of them. But when we come back, we're going to hear from Kirby. We're going to hear who I think is going to be the most popular Georgia player of next year. We're going to hear from him. I'm going to tell you about some regrets I have, right? And what?
And Gary Danielson, y'all. Georgia fans, you're going to love what he has to say. He's retiring. He was on with David Pollack, and he said something that blew me away.
Any dads out there want to chat? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. After prom, what's the plan? What's the smart play? Lots more on the tailgate coming up. It's Steak and Sandra, fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 92.9. Atlanta United, home of the Hawks, home of March Madness in Final Four, home of the Falcons, incredible ratings, crushing it, 5-1 versus our competition, which we don't even consider. We don't have competition. We are the big, bad sports talk radio station with all the big play-by-play, and we're also the best coverage of all the teams and have the most fun, and we can sit here and talk about my horrible bursitis and whether I should host a after-prom party, which, you know, when your daughter is, you know, been nothing but perfect little angel, and she does everything you ask, and she says, "Daddy, can we just host an after prom?" You know, there was a moment I was like, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking most dads are going to tell me, don't be fooled. Don't even consider it. So we're talking about that. Also, I am doing something, and we'll get to the Braves. I mean, if we have to avoid getting to the Braves for a little bit, I mean, you can understand why. The other thing I am doing is, you know, our buddy John Kincaid.
Yes.
Our daughters danced for a while in the same dance group in Sandy Springs, right? And they always had a father-daughter dance at the end of the year recital. John Kincaid, the whitest man in history, would walk out there with like 7 or 8 other dads, right? And they do a dance, a group dance with their kid, and I never did it.
Okay.
But it's her senior year, so I have a rehearsal on Friday night for our senior daughter, father-daughter dance, if you will.
Right.
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 Because I figured, like, how could I have never done that over all these years, right?
Yeah.
How could you be too busy for that?
You didn't want to do it, and I totally understand, because I remember when they were asking us to do the Dancing with the Stars pseudo-celebrity style. And you were saying
3 months.
Yeah, and you raise money for a charity. I think it's the Leukemia Society.
We had to bring that up. Yes, it is
Yeah.
It is for a charity.
Yeah, but you couldn't commit. But I think you were, and I talked to you about it. I was like, get out of your comfort zone. Go do it. Make fun of your own self. Nobody expects you to out there being Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire, for you people listening, was great dancer back in the day.
Yes, I was asked to be in the Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
You get an incredible shape. You have a private dance coach working with you.
Right.
Probably some cute little lady that, you know, is your partner that you spend months. And I just, yes, I could not get over my fear of being out there doing one of those in front of like 400 or 500 people wearing something, you know, shiny or tight or whatever it is.
Shiny and tight.
And I kind of regret it.
Yeah.
I said, I'll do whatever you want for the charity. I'll give away whatever you need. I'll emcee it. I don't think you want to see me dancing. And listen, I know I'm a good dancer. Like, there's no question I would have been fine.
You would have been better than fine.
Yeah,
I would have been really good.
So the daddy-daughter dance is not anywhere close to that. That's like...
Did they give you a little routine?
They're going to coach us Friday night. We have a rehearsal.
Do you know what the song is?
Rehearsal. No, they're going to give us the routine Friday night.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, but it is not the same as where you're... What I should have done... And what people love about it is you get an incredible shape as well. And,
oh, my gosh,
and like,
yeah.
You know, I just couldn't get over my fear, man. I could not get over it. So, yeah, what do they say is as you get older, confront those fears, do something, get out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Were you never asked to do one of those?
You cannot ever grow without getting out of your comfort zone.
Were you never asked to do one of those?
I was asked to judge it. But because my friend Christine did it and the year before. And let me tell you something.
You don't want to be going on after her.
I think she won the thing, but when I tell you she was in the best shape of her life, because it's using muscles that
Christine
you just can't
Pallaro.
Even... Christine Pallaro. She used to host Atlanta and Company. And
who
she's
already
just beautiful.
Is a little smoke show.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Beautiful. You can say whatever you want.
Right. So she looked good without the training
for
3 months.
Yeah, but I remember, and she was super
what
scared to do
look
it.
Like?
She looked, all right, calm down. Back to you. Jeez. Everybody take a breath.
Am I the only one that's
You're getting me out of my comfort zone. That's right. Making me feel weird.
It's uncomfortable. As James Franklin said, you're making me uncomfortable.
Well, I'm glad you're doing all that, and I think dads can relate to that. Get out of your comfort zone, and you do not grow unless you are do a little something scared once in a while.
Okay.
It's the truth.
When's the last time you did something like that? You don't have to answer right this second.
I'll tell you right now, I went up to the top of the mountain in Aspen, and I am deathly afraid of heights, but I knew it was going to be this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Took the gondola, and right. I was, like, scared to death.
Were you
so
looking
glad
down on the way up there?
Yeah, I did. I actually filmed it. I'm like, just embrace it. This is safe. Okay. Stop being a big sissy.
Right. Steve in Sandy Springs. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Stank, it's Steve. Pickleball Steve.
Thanks.
I never did it, but I tell you what. I went to a friend's house who hosted, and it was quite a show to see what these kids were doing. So my recommendation, Stake, is don't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, hang out with your buddy that's doing it.
Right. What do we always say? You don't need to have a lake house. Just have a friend that has one. It's a much better option. So I'd love to see the
that's
kids
right.
after. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know, my daughter's so sweet, and we did it once for her older sister. But don't be tempted. There's not a lot of win out of hosting after prom, correct?
No, not a lot of win of hosting it, but if you go and hang out with your friend that's hosting it, you're going to learn a lot about your kids, and it'll be a good experience.
All right, so Steve has a recommendation.
Pickleball Steve says.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Hey, Wayne, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Wayne?
Hey, good. How are you, man?
Good, buddy. What do you think?
My third child just graduated last May, and two boys and a girl, but I think the cool thing you talked about earlier, everything going on like in Los Angeles Dodger Stadium, is you get a chance to control the narrative, and you get a chance to have the ground rules at your house if you do it. So I think that's the cool part, is you could step up and just say, hey, this is going to be the rules. We're going to have fun, but this is where the boundaries are.
Well, certainly I wouldn't be wondering where my daughter is or what party she's at or anything like that, right?
Right. You would have that peace of mind, and you could also, you know, be an influence of what's good. And if they think they got to, you know, be drunk or underage drinking to have fun, you could show them other fun things that they could, you know, y'all could provide things that would make it just as entertaining.
All right. So he says, just do it under your own rules. Thank you for the call. 404-726-0929. Hosting after prom. Is it a zero-sum game? Two dads in a row saying, one dad saying, go to a buddy's hosting.
Right.
And the other says, host.
How does Kimberly feel?
Listen, it's hard to say no to Nola. She's worked her ass off, and, you know, she's done everything we could ask, and we don't like. No, she says we would be much less stressed. It's just going to be anxiety, right?
Totally agree.
You know? And God knows what condition Kimberly and I might be in on Saturday night.
I mean, Nola might say no.
Yeah.
Nola's like,
Nola
my
may
parents
be like,
in charge.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like, so there is some prom party that these parents are hosting during prom. Do you know about this whole phenomenon?
No.
So like, they go to prom, and then like eight couples got together, and they're hosting a throwdown.
That's
like
awesome.
7 to 10.
That's awesome.
At their house with like a live band and an open bar and everything else. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to that. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be driving. We get our car. We get King Ron, who's a buddy of mine who drives around. Like, I'm not hosting something after that party because I don't know what these parents are capable of, right?
Yeah, I don't blame you
so,
for that. I would stay with the kids.
Anyways, 404-726-0929. If you have a thought, and also, you know, out of your comfort zone in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, can you give an example of something that you just said, I'm going to take it on? I didn't tell you this, but I was making plans to climb Mount Kilimanjaro this summer. I hadn't told you this, but I was getting ready because we're doing it through our gym, mm-hmm. Pinnacle Fitness. My buddy Jamie had a trip to Mount Kilimanjaro, which is in Africa, right, this summer. And
are you telling the truth
now? No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you.
Well, that's the most absurd,
no,
stupid, ridiculous
what do you
April
mean?
Fool's joke.
No.
I listen. If
listen,
you agree
listen,
to
listen.
Go, first of all, I love that you said where is it?
It's in Africa.
Please, it's reality what? TV stars, anybody from Bravo, follow this one around trying to climb.
I'm telling you, I've talked to a lot of people. It's like five reasonable hikes every day. It's the elevation that's the big problem. You're never like in a steep thing. You're hiking high up, mm-hmm. and uh-huh, it takes uh-huh. 5 days. Uh-huh. So it's like, okay. and mm-hmm. I had signed on. Mm-hmm. Well, I was about to sign on. I talked to my family about it, and Kimberly's like, if you think you can do that and you want to try to take something on as you get near 60, and then they announced because it was too late. Most people already have summer plans, but it was going to be in June.
My God.
And I didn't tell you because I go, I'm going to hit her with this, and she's never going to believe it.
That's correct.
So next summer.
Okay.
Next summer.
I love it.
I hope we're still together.
I will applaud and help
but
you.
But you just laughed at me. You laughed at
laughed
me.
Out loud.
Laughed out loud.
Loud. Loudly.
Let's do the tailgate.
The Branch brothers were all the talk. Zachariah Branch, wide receiver, was at USC, was at that Las Vegas high school that's highfalutin, Bishop Gorman, all the rave. He chose to go to USC. He enters the transfer portal. Kirby takes both he and his brother Zion, which is a safety. So the first couple of practices and workouts, you're hearing from inside that building, this kid, this Zachariah, is the real deal. On the very first day of spring practice, KJ Bolden, who will be on the top five pick in the NFL draft whenever he comes out because he is the biggest, baddest guy. He says, I've had to defend a lot of guys at practice. Zachariah Branch is the guy.
Oh, tell
and
me more.
Yeah, I he like absolutely that. Loves him. So Zachariah yesterday, and I'll also remind you, at each of these pressers, I believe Kirby's now done three during spring, folks are trying to get stuff about Zachariah. And the only thing Kirby kind of said was their body language. He didn't name him out specifically, but the cockiness of, like, you can't do the body language. You can't put your arms up when the ball's too high, et cetera, but says good things about him. So Zachariah yesterday talking about why exactly he chose Georgia.
First and foremost, I would say the culture that Coach Kirby Smart and, you know, the coaching staff has established. I feel like it's a real brotherhood, and, you know, it's not just words. You know, some people just say, okay, we have to have the bond and the things like that to be a great team. But I really do truly believe that, you know, they built that into this program, and they've consistently done it year after year.
He says at Bishop Gorman, it's like a college campus, and he said this is more comparable to that. Like, there is a certain level that the coaches expect of you, and you know walking in the door. And he mentioned everything from the weight room to the cafeteria to meetings. He just absolutely loved it. Kirby now talking about both Zachariah and Zion.
Well, they both love football, and that's the number one quality you got to have at Georgia. You better love it and be passionate about it. I do believe that. They love football. They're still adjusting to speed of practice, tempo of practice, volume of practice. It's all the things that they wanted to come here for, which is the intensity, the competition, the good on good, the grind, let's call it, and they embrace that.
Hard workers, and not once, not twice, but three times during this 20-minute interview with Zachariah, he brings up Gunnar Stockton and work ethic and how much he loves him.
I watched him throughout the practices when I came up here on a visit, and I saw his work ethic and his fire in practice, and that's something that caught my eye as well. And then she, like, when it tied into everything else that the culture brings and the program bring, and having him at quarterback, it was something that, you know, I was really interested in.
I think that more than anything, Steak, when you hear these kids talk about Gunner's in that building when they get there and playing. And, of course, I have to text Rusty. I was like, okay, I have a new favorite player, this young man. And,
you know how
and
much
he went
fun
on
it's
going
to be?
On.
I'm just picturing first, I'm picturing trying to get tickets for any of these games. You know what I mean? Texas, yeah. Alabama, and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I told you, you know, my buddy's like, oh, we're coming down for that Texas game.
You're like, oh, good. Nobody else is wanting
to come
to that.
I was like, okay, are you bringing a Brinks truck to pay for tickets and
yes,
hotel?
Yes, yes.
But think about if we open up the offense a little bit after what we've been through. Now, again, we had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, so it's not like we couldn't throw the football. But it's kind of a different look of all these wide receivers, the portal and the freshmen. And, man, it wouldn't it be fun if this kid is – listen, you saw it on tape at USC. He is a breakaway highlight machine. and now he's bringing it to the SEC.
Yeah, football motor, football mind, he has it all. Real quick, I do want to give some love to Georgia Tech because I'm sure Yellow Jacket fans, you're sick of hearing us talk about Georgia. A lot of love. Top 10 running backs in college football. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Haynes, number 9 from Georgia Tech, enlisted in how good he is and how he's going to be. And things over with Brent Key and spring practice are going to be nice. They're also having their spring game on the 12th. Gary Danielson, who is retiring after this season, was on, after 36 years, by the way, was on the podcast with David Pollack last night. They asked him, is there an atmosphere or an environment that you remember more than anything else?
I did the Notre Dame game at Georgia.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything like that atmosphere that night.
That's when they fixed the lights. They had the light show. It was that's crazy.
Right. That's right. That was as loud as I've ever heard anything for, you know, an hour and a half, three hours, you know. I mean, it was.
Seven false starts.
Exactly.
It was the most hyped ticket. Two things. The greatest takeover of a stadium in big-time college football history was at South Bend when the first half of this series was played. That was the magical weekend. The Braves were playing the Cubs, and everybody poured into Chicago when they went to the Notre Dame game, and Notre Dame fans are like, how did this happen? Well, it just means more. Like, literally, they never thought that
Notre Dame has now changed the way they distribute tickets.
No doubt. That was embarrassing.
Since that game.
And
exactly.
Then the next year, they come here to Athens.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the Golden Domers coming to Athens. Of any games that we have been around or talked about, that was the ticket.
Well done, Josh Brooks and company.
I would argue the Longhorn ticket, assuming they're as good as folks think they're going to be, Texas at Georgia, the way Texas fans are trying to get to this game.
Yeah. It's right. So good. Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention David Pollack's sweet wife. I texted him this morning after I knew I was going to play that, and he quotes.
Those of you haven't heard.
Oh, yeah. Brain tumor, brain cancer.
She was at Duke Medical Center. He shocked everybody on social, said, please pray for me and my family.
Good days, bad days. They're celebrating the crap out of these small wins. She's dressing herself, getting up by herself, took a shower yesterday by herself. I mean, we are grooving. There is no greater gift you could give us than praying for us. Thank you. So that's a message from David Pollack literally an hour ago. So, David, we're thinking of you. I just thought that was super cool from Gary of all the moments he's had. So.
I think both is cool that David Pollack texted you with that update
because
I said to you, what's up with David?
Yeah, and I said, let me text him right now because that's important. So.
All right, great stuff, Sandy. That's a great tailgate. That's what we do.
Zachariah Branch. We need to have him on.
Hey, Rusty Manziel in tomorrow. He'll have a lot more on that coming up for sure. When we come back, is the best thing going on this summer at Truist Park going to be the NFA burger that's coming? Or are the Braves actually going to start winning some games? How bad are the Braves? Like, real question. How bad are the Braves right now? We got to take a look. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
High fly ball to center field. Harris is back. Ohtani!
That's the MLB Network, and that's Shohei Ohtani. As if the Dodgers needed more juice, more pub, more hype, they got it. Ohtani with a walk-off. Dodgers come back from a 5-0 Braves advantage.
Would you have put him on?
No.
It's easy to say hindsight.
I just don't throw him. I don't throw him a strike. I mean, I just. You know, don't let him beat you. I mean, their lineup is ridiculous, obviously. But you know, there's not a break. But you don't want to. You certainly don't want to end. You don't want to end things with that. I mean, that's just a horrendous way to have that go down. The Braves obviously trying to mix things up. Yesterday, we're going to hear from Snit coming up. It's shocking. I mean, when you see I'm a little shocked. The Padres are 7-0. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I knew they were good. Dodgers not totally shocking. They haven't had a road game yet, the Dodgers. You realize that? They played
the other big stat is out of the 8 wins or 8-0, 6 of them they were behind and came back to win.
Yeah, I mean, so and they really they haven't even flexed all their muscles in terms of offensively.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot more where that came from.
Final was 6-5. Braves were up 5-0. The average now for the Braves is 151. They're batting 151. They got on a plane last night, flew across country. They're told not to come to the ballpark at all today. It was kind of a funky lineup. A lot of right-handers against Blake Snell, the lefty.
I mean,
Austin Riley has not had a good week, to say the least. He is now 3-for-27 with 11 strikeouts. His hit last night, I believe in the fourth, broke the 0-for-19 skid.
Yeah, but his sixth inning at bat was bad. That was the bases
loaded. Oh,
you
mean bases loaded and he watched it?
Nobody out or one out,
whatever. Here's Austin Riley.
From a personal standpoint, it's honestly embarrassing what I've displayed offensively, and I've got a lot of work to do. You know, it's from an offensive point, you know, there's no excuses. It's embarrassing.
Wow. That's not a fun locker room. At least they could have had the dub up 5-0. You know, you see the lineup last night, and I was like, you go, Snit, right?
Yeah, mix it up. I said the same thing.
Nick Allen, Stuart Fairchild, I think are hitting in the 5 and 6 in the lineup. Then you got Chadwick Trump hitting 8, and then Eli White, I think, hitting 9 or whatever it was. I mean, you know.
Allen's batting 5th last night. He had 2 hits, by the way. So when I tell you.
Yeah, Allen 5th, Fairchild.
I think Allen just took Ozzie's job. Excuse me. What is wrong with me?
Orlando Arcia.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my mini stroke that I have in the morning. But Arcia hadn't hit nothing.
He hit 6th. Fairchild hit 7th.
There you go.
Trump hit 8th. Mm-hmm. Eli White hit 9th. Michael Harris pinch hit for Eli White and did get a hit. He drilled a curveball into right center. Was a great at bat as a pinch hitter. Top of the order, Albie's now batting leadoff. Went 2-for-5. He'll probably stay there. I don't trust Michael Harris necessarily. Ozuna hit 2. He was up with the bases loaded. He didn't get it done. Austin Riley, obviously struggling with a 1-for-5. Matt Olson with a big double, but he goes 1-for-4. I mean, how bad are the Braves? I mean, I don't mean to phrase it that way, and I'm not trying to be sensational as a sports talk radio journalist.
Journalist?
But, like, this is something Braves fans, your level of concern for this summer has to be real. There's no guarantees, you know. I mean, Spencer Strider's coming back within the next 8 days. Acuna will be back in May. There's a lot of accomplished players.
Murphy will be back too, by the way.
Yeah, very soon, next 4 or 5 days on this homestand probably. So, depending on what they do with his rehab. So, minor league start, whatever it is. But yeah, you play the 2 best teams in baseball. They're 15-0. And that's fine. But you got to be able to hit a little bit. I mean, you know, you're behind the 8-ball with certainly Ronaldo Lopez and Spencer Strider, right? So Strider's not there and Lopez isn't there. Lopez ain't coming back anytime soon. Strider is. But you shouldn't be overmatched, you know. And you offensively, what are you doing? You spend like, you know, 6 months, it felt like, in friggin' spring training in Northport, right? And then you go to Arizona and you're hitting against the Cubs in those 2 games, and then everything just went blank.
They're pressing. There's pressure on. It's very tight in that clubhouse. And Brian Snitker said, Brian Snitker after the game was completely just beside himself.
I don't wish this on anybody, honestly. You know, in a competitive arena and what we're going through is tough.
Said everybody in there is tight, and it's looking like, okay, well, who's going to kind of jumpstart us out of this?
Listen, the Atlanta Braves.
By the way, all the runs last night were unearned.
The Atlanta Braves, the ones we scored.
Yeah, 5.
The Atlanta Braves have built a what's the proper phrase? They've built a stockpile or a plethora or just a massive amount of good faith, right? You build the good faith by winning World Series, by finishing in first place, by going to the playoffs every year, by having Hall of Fame players, by, you know, having true stars, Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, Spencer Strider, Max Fried. I mean, these are all-timers. These are great players. Your fan base knows every summer you're in the mix, right?
That's right.
You know, every summer you're going to go down there, you're going to see MVPs like Ronald Acuna, you're going to see stars like Austin Riley, you're going to see 50 home run guys like Matt Olson. You know, you have a GM that's unparalleled in terms of Alex Anthopoulos. So everything the Braves have built, the Falcons haven't, right? The Falcons haven't. Falcons have had seven straight years out of the playoffs. The Falcons put you through the most gut-wrenching loss in the history of any sports fan could ever live through. The Falcons are a franchise that, from the minute they got to Atlanta, have caused agita. Now, not to say we didn't have a great run with Mike Smith, and then, of course, with Dan Quinn, and we had our great moments, so we've got great players, and Matt Ryan, and Oliva. But they haven't built a good faith. They haven't built it. They've been at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They've never played a playoff game. They've been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They got a losing record. They, you know, they're last year and the year, the 2 years ago, you're parading out Desmond Ridder. Last year, you're parading out Kirk Cousins, and both years you had the same record, right? Or 7-10, 8-9, whatever. The Braves have built so much loyalty and good faith through Braves country, so they're going to be fine in terms of, you know, the crowd will be sensational this weekend. Mm-hmm. Every single day, this homestand
absolutely
is going to be unbelievable crowds. The weather has turned to spring. You know everybody in the lineup. You know they need our support. But you start 2-10, man. You know, you start 2-11. You're really behind the eight ball. And Max Fried isn't here. Like, let's not just, like, you know, we didn't even think about signing Max Fried. He's gone. He's in New York, right? And Ronaldo Lopez was our guy. And that guy can't stay healthy. We have no idea. So those are two enormous shots across the bow. Oh, yeah. The biggest move of your offseason, and one of the biggest in the last few years, was Jerkson Profar, and he's gone. So you're parading guys out there that you don't want to put out there on a regular basis, right?
And your superstars can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I mean,
for Austin to have those numbers, Riley was, Michael Harris was not benched. He sat last night. It's not good.
We don't want to play Jared Kelnick. That's why we went, you know, we don't want him because I think we saw after a full season that he's not the answer. So there'll be great crowds and there'll be great baseball. But I don't know where this season's headed when you start.
Just get a win. Just start with one. You open the day. You're five back from the Phillies.
Just think if you don't beat Florida on Friday night.
Oh, my goodness.
You're already eight games under 500. You're beating
him. Spencer Schwellenbach has the ball, and you're winning. That's it.
Okay, Sandy.
All the money.
Okay.
Get there early.
They have not been home in a long time. And you know what mommy wants with her three kids?
A win.
Don't be
And some fireworks.
No, she wants you to change some diapers, give the kids a bath. And don't pout. Don't walk around the house pouting. They need a little of what Danny Hurley's wife said. Don't take yourself so seriously. Remember that 60 Minutes interview? It's a frigging game. Yeah. I know you're miserable. I'm miserable. I got three kids. You were in Florida for a month and a half. Then you were out on the West Coast. So I don't give a rat's blank if you're 0-7 or 7-0. Here's your babies. You better get your mind right today, right?
I would tell
Kimberly when she was taking care of those kids, I'd come home from work and say, baby, I have had a hard friggin' day. I don't know if daddy's doing story time tonight or giving baths or changing diapers. Daddy needs a vodka. Daddy needs his newspaper.
And how'd that go?
And then daddy needed a hotel room. Daddy needed a hotel room. Because Kimberly's like, you're adorable. I'm still fascinated by the Mad Men era. Don Draper would spend a whole day drinking in his office, hitting on broads, going out after work, and he'd come home and mommy would be like, don't bother dad.
Betty.
He's had a long day.
Betty was stable.
Yeah. Anyway, what happened to that era? What happened to that?
I would just ask the Braves wives today to
be
gentle and kind. Give him a little huggy hug.
Maybe more than that.
Make it a quiet house.
Okay. Make it a quiet house. Okay.
Yeah, quiet house. Let him rest. Let him get his mojo
back. When we come back, why Matt Ryan continues to be blessed by the gods And what else we got for Belly Up? We're gonna play. We're gonna play Lou Williams cut again.
Oh,
if you want to know what a baller looks like, yeah, Lou Williams won Sixth Man of the Year, but he won a lot more than that. Wait till you hear the podcast. You're in Atlanta, Georgia, listening to the number one sports talk radio station by a country mile. Steak and Sandra, Randy and Andy, Dukes and Bell, The Morning Shift, Tiffany's last show tomorrow. She is moving on. So Morning Shift, they're not on next week either. You're going to turn on 6 to 10 next week. You'll hear Steaky and Sandy and Drew and Rusty. We're filling in for the week, both having a baby. Mike Johnson will work with us later in the week, so it'll be myself, Sandra, and I think Mikey on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Awesome.
Thursday, mm-hmm. Friday, okay? And then Rusty, myself, and Mikey on Friday, me and Drew on Monday, you and I on Tuesday, Wednesday. So we're doing morning, 6 to 10 a.m., back to the 4:30 wake up, but just for a week.
People are going
to
freak out when they turn on the radio and go, what has happened?
Yeah, yeah.
But don't freak out.
They'll be okay. We'll coach them through it. And then the Morning Shift will be back in its iteration coming up on the following Monday. Do we need to give Bo daddy tips? How many kids you got, Day-Day?
Five.
I got three. We got eight between us. Rusty's got four, I think, right? Drew's got three. There's like 14 kids. So we should coach. We got to coach Bo up a little bit on that. So
new clinic for him.
Yeah. We can talk him through it. So that's coming up as well. I also put up on social media, and the topic has been in our show this morning. My lovely daughter has asked us to host After Prom, and I said, let me see what I said. It's getting quite the response across the board. So very simply, I said, is there any reason whatsoever to host my daughter's After Prom party? Very simple question. 100% absolutely control the environment. You can thank me later. That's Mr. Yo. Mr. Knife Guy says, yes, you have control. This guy, Vince Kenny, seems like a nice dude. We did our daughters just to keep an eye. It was a bit of a stress, but we knew where she was. Parking's hard. So for the second daughter, we hired a cop out front. That helped.
Oh, that's a good idea. Shout out to Vince.
Kyle, the illusion of control. That's the reason. Not a good one per se, but there you go. Matt Murphy, you know she's home. Shane Turner, take the car keys from everyone at this party with a kid and hide the liquor. Protect yourself from lawsuits. Elvie, okay, knowing where she is, that's more than valid. Outside of that, you're taking on a lot of liability. Kenneth says, teenage boys, that's it. That's all I got. right. David says, can you name a safer place for her that night? So a lot of responses to should Steak and Kimberly host the After Prom.
Hey, on Monday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is going to be gearing up for the national championship game with a pair of broadcasts. So Twin Peaks Kennesaw, join Andy or Randy at 11, Dukes and Bell at 2. So just stay there for the duration. On a scale of 1 to 10, your excitement for the final four?
Well,
it feels like it's kind of taken a...
I don't think that college basketball in its current iteration captivates people that much. And I do think the Duke teams of Leitner and Hurley and Grand Hill playing the Vegas team of Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony and Larry Johnson and
Stacey Augmon.
Like, those are teams you knew. There's nothing that irritates me more than the current iteration of college sports, especially in basketball, than a kid that's played at four schools in 4 years or played last year here, then next year here. And I think you don't know these teams that well. I don't think people know who's on the Florida Gators other than Walter Clayton Jr. And I'm going to be – so during prom, we're at a party. So when's the first game, like 3?
6.
That's what I thought. First game's
at
6.
Yeah, it's at night. All of it's at night.
Okay. So we're going to be at a party, and I'm not able to sit and – focus. So no, not that high. And I'm the biggest college basketball fan.
Yeah, you haven't been talking about it for 3 days. We haven't really.
I'm trying to make decisions that do folks want us to talk about it. So, you know, don't chastise me for not talking about it. I'm trying to, like, you know, nobody else is talking about it around here, right?
So true.
So
It's the coaches that are the stars.
Yeah.
By a long shot. So,
yeah, who's
want to hear
get
Kelvin
there?
Sampson? I thought he had some thoughts.
Yeah, and here's I'm going to say, I think my friends at Auburn, I got a lot of friends, I think Florida wins that game. And Duke and Houston, that is an interesting game. So I'm looking forward when it happens, but I don't really have a dog in the fight, so eh.
I think the coaches that fail at every level are the coaches that are passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive coaches are usually afraid to hold kids accountable. You rationalize. If you're going to build a culture, if you're going to build a culture, the first thing you have to come to grips with is you're going to have confrontation because you want it done your way. There are certain things that can be democratic, but most things that are difficult has to be your way.
Lean in too hard, right? By the way, that's the definition of Kirby Smart. That's the definition of Kirby Smart at Georgia. There is nothing passive-aggressive. Walk by that field. I have a friend, can't name it. He was lucky enough to go to practice the other day. And to say that he gets after those kids and he's dropping F-bomb in every direction, which you can hear if you walk by the practice facility because he's got the megaphone going or whatever. I told you, baby Sophie's like, Kirby's on one today. She's taking a walk around. But, I mean, he's not passive-aggressive. He's going to tell exactly where you stand.
Well, I told you, Kelvin Sampson, Sean Farnham, the NCAA reporter, was talking about as little as 2 weeks ago, Houston wasn't running practice like they should. He had him get on the line and run sprints until they vomited.
Right.
And then you go to John Shire, and he's like, we're going to take five for meditation.
Right.
We're going to do our breathing. So it's just a matter of how kids
react. It's different
react
styles. But, I listen, his kids are in great shape. They obviously have been pushed. There's a culture at Duke basketball. It's not like Kelvin Sampson has better culture than Duke, right?
No, just completely
just
different.
Yeah,
different.
No, I get
and
it.
And I think that's what he's trying to
John
say.
John Shire's in his 30s. I think Kelvin Sampson, if I had to guess, is 68, something like that.
I would also go back to you, Steak, as a boss. You don't boss the same as you used to 20 years ago than dealing with the employees and the age and the reactive back and forth that you do now.
Yeah, again, you can make yourself crazy wondering why nobody works like 9 to 5. Like nobody is really sitting working all day long, or they're going to be on remote, or they're going to have flex days, or they're going to do this, and you can bang your head against the wall.
Well, I will tell you that even in the radio world, we were so rewarded, in TV even, you were rewarded with paychecks and bonuses and great Christmas presents and Christmas gifts. That ain't happening anymore.
Right.
So when we need motivation as human beings, at least I do.
Incentives.
And then if we're not getting them, then, I'm going to do exactly what I need to do to be great. But then I'm going to also make sure the rest of my life is in balance.
Well, also the reason these companies are going to 4 or 5 days a week, and I'm not telling you anything wrong. I like it. But they're trying to get rid of a ton of employees. So it's a way you don't have to fire them and they leave. And that looks a lot different in terms of packages. So if you want to get rid of 10% of your workforce, you go to 5 days a week and watch them drop. And by the way, when you quit, you owe them a lot different settlement or zero settlement
as opposed to firing them. That's exactly right.
So it's easy to be like, why don't you do 5 days a week, 4 days
right.
a week?
Right.
It's not that simple. All right, we're running up against it because we're just yapping too much. So you have to make decisions, and then we'll go back to the other after the break. So you pick your favorite, belly up. Pick your favorite one or two, you and Day Day, and let's do it.
Matt Ryan and then Tyler Hansbrough. It came out the other day that, in fact, Ian Eagle will now be teamed up with J.J. Watt as the number two team at CBS.
Yeah, doing games.
Doing games.
Yeah.
Correctamundo. So J.J. Watt now leaves the desk with the studio. He was a part of a 5-man desk that Matt Ryan was a part of. And it comes out yesterday, an awful announcing, that CBS is like, we don't need to replace him. Matt Ryan is pretty much our guy.
Right. So Matt Ryan, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think
That's it, which is great. My favorite sound of the entire day when I was listening to Chris Long's podcast, which is called Green Light with Chris Long, he had Tyler Hansbrough on, and Tyler Hansbrough used to be teammates with Lemon Pepper Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Lou Williams had two girlfriends. And he had like code names for him, and he was very open about this. You play with Lou Williams. Did you meet both girlfriends? Did he bring both girlfriends around, or was that like a known thing that he was a polygamist of sorts?
They sat next to each other there at every game. I mean, Lou Williams off the court for doing that. I mean, I'm not sure he could do anything basketball wise to ever really top that.
Doesn't that sound exhausting? Two women in your life.
Not when you're in your 20s.
And they're understanding.
They were in on it, right?
It's much more exhausting what Wade Boggs had, which was having his wife at the game and then having that girlfriend across the way.
Listen, and having, plenty of baseball players have a family section, and then theirs with the girlfriends. Oh, yeah. At least they weren't next to each other.
That's part of the reason the rumor is folks don't want to get traded to Atlanta, because that's where the girlfriend is, the side piece, right?
Big time.
You've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
By the way, we'll do some more stuff on Belly Up. Anthony Edwards paying $1 million in saying, I don't want to ever deal with this woman again. You know this story?
No.
He paid 18 years of child support in one check and says, I don't want to have to deal with her ever again. And it sounds like his kid as well.
Yeah, man. It sounds very much a bye-bye, be gone. I don't want to.
It's not a good look.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for that young man. I think it's not the I'm not sure. I don't want to say it, but I don't think it's the only situation he's been in similar. But he's literally told the judge, just I'll write a check now. I don't want to ever see her or the kid. And he paid out over $1 million. And so.
Hey, if you guys are sneakerheads, you're going to want to stay tuned through the break. Because you probably need to go shopping today.
Seriously. Oh, man. We'll do three strikes as well. More on the Braves coming home. Sports Radio 929. What we got going here, big guy?
That's a little throwback. Jay-Z, T.I., I think Kanye West. Swagger, that's what you guys have, the steakhouse.
Okay.
This station, we are about swag.
Humble swagger. Not always so humble. Steak and Sandra, thanks for being on the steakhouse. We got a couple more items from Belly Up that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, first of all, our game of the night, we're going with Golden State at the Lakers is tonight at 10 o'clock. Thanks, John Foy. Braves
are
off.
Where did you come up with that? Day-Day,
you know how me and Day-Day, when you leave the room, I'm all about the association. I don't know why you're shaming me.
Yeah, you know, when I look at you.
I got game.
She knows a little something, Steak. Listen, I had nothing to do with that. She threw it out there, and I said, okay.
Okay.
The other thing we need to talk about, you guys, I don't know if you're watching the NHL at all, but Alex Ovechkin scored another goal last night. He is now three away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal.
Nobody thought that could ever happen.
Ever happen.
Ever.
So he needs three with seven to play. So now they're trying to figure out. It's got to be. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. He's having a monster year. But they're trying to figure out if they can get Gretzky to these games now.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, so I thought that would be cool. But, poor Alex to press like this.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's he going to do, Gretzky? Travel around for like a week?
Yeah, on the Ovechkin tour? I agree with you.
You know?
So, but that's just kind of something cool to
watch. It was cool that Wayne Gretzky spends a lot of time in Atlanta doing that TNT stuff.
Right.
Can I just give you something completely random?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about gout and getting older and crazy stuff that happens. I said, Sandra, how'd you sleep last night? She goes, that's hysterical. I slept horrible, right? She's got a lot of anxiety over there. She's doing her breathing and everything. You'd never know it on the air other than the other day when she showed up in a
mood.
Well,
that's the Atlanta Braves' fault.
Yeah. But
be better.
I couldn't sleep last night because my hand was throbbing. So it was 4 a.m. and I went downstairs to ice it. And I put on the television, and I've been meaning to watch this. I put on the Baldwins. That
Have you don't seen? Talk to you while I like talking.
Have you
I don't
seen
even know what
it?
It's on.
So it's on.
He's talking about
Max. So it's
Alec
on,
and Hilaria.
I think they. What network is that on? We're gonna look it up.
The
but anyway,
network.
It just popped up under. You just click it, and I skipped right through, which is really in poor taste, the three episodes about him at the trial, which I didn't want to see. Because everyone's like, are you really making a show about you getting off from, you know, murder charges? That guy, I just have a couple things to say. A okay? I don't know why he agreed to do that other than he is the most whipped human being. But Hilaria, is that her name? Hilaria?
Yeah. Hilaria? Oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
That's her. Yeah.
Yeah, Hilaria.
Oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
I'm going to tell you that that dude has got 7 kids. He's older than us. He's got 7 kids under like 8 years old. And they're in the Hamptons. But she is positively 100% one of the hottest women I've ever seen in my life. She in this show, dude, I get it. Alec, I know what's going on, bro. Figured at your age, though, you wouldn't make the mistake you did. But I get it. What are they saying?
So do you get Rusty Bill Belichick? You get it. Bill Belichick is playing airplane with his 24-year-old girlfriend.
Bill Belichick is creepy. Bill Belichick is creepy. This is a little more realistic, but let me just tell you, I don't know if she just is fully decked out for every, obviously she wanted the show, but that girl is an absolute man. Crazy hot looking
She's
woman.
Not a man. He didn't mean it like that. She's not a man. No. She's a beautiful woman. You know, she was a yoga instructor. That's how they met in a hot yoga class. She's ridiculous.
She's had the surgery.
Yeah,
her body is insane.
Well,
she is gorgeous. And man, is it the most self-serving, narcissistic woman you've ever seen. I mean,
oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
I mean, the way she just, this poor guy, however good her body is, his has gone completely the other direction. He's got a dad bod times 2. He's exhausted. He's depressed. He's overwhelmed. And she's bouncing around with those 7 kids. It was fascinating for all the right reasons looking at her and all the wrong reasons. Like, wow.
Right.
That is a train wreck. Anyway, that's my review of the Baldwins.
Okay,
but Hilaria, Hilaria, yes.
If
this was my Instagram, she gets a 4.9.
Okay, we understand.
Okay.
Paul Skeens and Olivia Dunn, LSU little hooked up 100 years ago. Like, they've been dating a long time.
Yeah, she's
They
like,
did a spread in GQ magazine together. That is the hottest couple ever. Y'all go take a look at that for sure.
He looks really good.
He looks incredible, and she is just beautiful. But they are cute together. They're very funny. They got a nice little back and forth thing. I'm going to get your attention right now. If on March the 4th you would have bet Dyson Daniels to win the most improved player in the NBA, the odds were plus 4,000.
Oh, my God.
As of yesterday, Dyson Daniels is the favorite to win, not best defense player, the most improved player at minus 250 from March the 4th, y'all.
Yeah.
Over Cade Cunningham, who was the favorite. So tremendous, rush right out.
Tremendous trade. Landry Fields had a good little run lately. The absolute trade that saved the franchise, that Dyson Daniels, get rid of DeJounte. Think about we had DeJounte and how much better this kid is. And then the trade – we're getting rid of Dondre and Bogdanovich and the guys we brought in.
Man. And they talked about Dyson last night, and they actually made a case for him winning both awards.
I totally see
He
that.
Was on the crew with the crew from TNT. It wasn't that show. It was, like, I think, Inside the before, NBA, yeah. Where he talks about, well, first of all, that Australian accent, yes, please. Like, you know, you just like win that. The day. But he's really very humble and kind, and he's talked about how the players now treat him so much different. That he's just, his game has gotten better and he wanted the respect from other players. Really like him. Good going.
Yeah. I wish we had a better record. I mean, we're 36-40.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
We wouldn't even be in the playoffs in the Western Conference. So we're a 7 or 8 seed in the East. But next year, no excuses. Everybody is there. Next year, you got to be
That's their biggest issue.
Four.
This year,
top
they're 5. Missing a third consistent player. You're right? Consistently getting what you need out of Trey and Dyson, but there's no one else there consistently contributing.
Congo's
so hopefully Jalen next year, back healthy for a whole year.
Risa Shea,
yep.
All right, here's our 3 strikes question. Your sneaker game scale of 1 to 10. I'll tell you why in a second. Your sneaker game scale of 1 to 10. Should I host my daughter's after prom? Surprisingly, right down the middle on social. More actually saying yes. Keep her in your sights.
In your control, yeah.
Keep it. It's a control thing. Should I host my daughter's after prom? And your all-time TV crush. Your all-time TV crush. And Hilaria, I get it, Alec.
Wow, steak.
I'm sorry. I didn't think. I was like.
But you do know there's no difference in that and Bill. And Bill and Jordan and Hilaria and Alec.
No, like the age difference is different. Bill's 50 years older than her. Alec is like 20 or something. He got seven kids. What is that guy? And then he's got the baby with, what's her name?
He's 67. She's 41.
Okay, 26 years. It's not 50 years. So when he calls up and he says, when he calls her a little piggy, the famous voicemail and Alec Baldwin calls.
Oh, right.
Who's
the daughter?
The daughter with who?
Oh, gosh.
Who's the mommy?
So the mom that was in 9 and a half weeks. What's her?
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger. There you go.
404-726-0929. Should I host my daughter's after prom? Your sneaker game 1 to 10. Your all-time TV crush.
We must bring up your sneaker game because as a result of the tariffs, you guys, Vietnam was one of the tariff zones. Yeah. That is Nike. That is Adidas. That is Lululemon. That is, the list goes on and on. So sportswear, sports gear, go if you are wanting something. And I'm talking to you, Hugh Douglas, who has bidden on all those, get those sneakers. That they're about to even of them.
Yeah, you know, guys are lucky. Like I'm a sneakerhead, and I'll go literally. I'll shop at Perimeter. There's like five sneaker stores, and you're paying $110 a lot of times for nice looking sneakers.
Oh yeah,
really. And women are paying like crazy. So maybe it finally catches up to dudes who can get nice kicks, right? You're a sneakerhead also, right?
Yeah, I'd probably say my shoe game's probably about a 7. I'm a late bloomer when it comes to that. But yeah, men, I mean, the most expensive when it comes to sneakers, you might be talking about a couple of hundred.
I know. We're lucky. And my sneaker game, myself up to a 7.5, 8. I'm new to the game, last 2 years. But
you loyal to a brand?
I mean, mostly Nike, but there's some Adidas that are
fresh. Yeah, mostly Nike.
Vietnam, what? China, Cambodia. Those are the big ones.
All right. Let's get some.
So go shopping today.
Let's
y'all.
Get some three strikes.
Go buy a car.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, let's get Evan in Athens. Evan, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Hey,
yes,
Evan, should I host after prom for my daughter?
I think it depends on your relationship. Are you the cool dad or what kind of relationship is it?
I'm a cool dad, yeah.
Then absolutely, I think you should. I think it'd be fun and good for you guys.
What is your sneaker game, scale of 1 to 10?
My sneaker game is on whatever scale the Costco $40 shoe selection.
Let's say that's a 1 or 2.
Wow.
I'm sorry. All-time TV crush. All-time TV crush.
When you say TV, is it a TV show or movie?
When I say TV, I mean TV.
Okay. I think I got to go with...
All right, I'm sorry. Sometimes...
Evan.
I don't know why
Evan.
I'm being interrogated about my daughter's... What kind of... A cool. Answer the question! There are three questions. Just answer them. Don't ask me a question. You answer the question.
Evan, you started out strong.
Remember you said that I've evolved?
Yeah, I was taking only that one. Back. Take you backy.
Jeff, should I host my daughter's after prom?
Okay, I'm very intimidated now. Yes, Steak, you should host your daughter's after prom with security.
With security, okay.
I like that whole thing with to having a police cop.
Officer,
yeah.
Your sneaker game, 1 to 10?
An 8 and building up.
And building, I like it. All-time TV crush?
I'm going to go Charlie from Different Strokes and Tui from Facts of Life.
Two very lovely, lovely mm-hmm. ladies. Who is this first one? Different Strokes? Okay. Let's get Joe. Hey, Joe, I'm going to give you the last word. Should I host my daughter's after prom?
No, I think if you trust her, you would just show that you may not trust her as much.
Yes. Oh, man.
What?
I mean, I've picked her up from high school parties. I mean, I was like, I don't care what time. Yeah. And let's just say if she's had a couple of those Truly's, one of those seltzers. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you get a little.
I got a 17-year-old, so I can relate.
You get a little more information. She's a little more loquacious than normal. Let's just say that. Don't judge me, or judge me if you want. But
she's truly honest.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Your sneaker game, 1 to 10.
I would say probably about an 8. I got about 250 pairs. So.
Oh my God. Damn. How are you?
My very first pair of sneakers that I got was the King Griffey Juniors back in high school.
Bro, you got to be
You could Poshmark.
Where do you buy? Where do you buy most of them?
It all depends. I get a lot on eBay. I might find some on Amazon. I got some buddy of mine that, you know, they'll go to like some flea markets and stuff, but find a good deal and find ones that I want. I'm all game for that.
All time TV crush.
Tiffany Thiessen, Saved by the Bell.
I mean, you and about 5 million other young boys, men.
Who was your TV crush?
Different.
Hillary of Baldwin.
Charlene Tilton on Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I dug her a little bit. Definitely Penny, Janet Jackson on Good Times.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Penny from Laverne and Shirley.
No. You're funny. All right, I'll see you Tuesday, ma'am. Great job, Sandy, as always. Rusty's here tomorrow. Keith Brooking joins us on 404 Day as well. Thank you, Day-Day, and thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.